Let us read together our text for this morning, Psalm 134. And as we read, see if you can identify the key word in this short psalm. Psalm 134, a song of degrees. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. The key word in that psalm, as some of you will have recognized, is bless. It is the key word because it occurs three times in the psalm, once in each of the three verses. Notice with me who is blessing whom. In verses 1 through 2, people are blessing the Lord. In verse 3, the Lord is blessing people. This is like Ephesians chapter 1, which we read earlier. First, God is blessed. Ephesians 1 verse 3 begins, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here you have people, Paul on behalf of the church, blessing the Lord. And then, God is said to bless us, for he is the one who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And the teaching here of Psalm 134, and Ephesians 1 for that matter, is that the church is and is to be a place of many blessings. We bless God, as we have been doing throughout this worship service. And he blesses us, and we call upon him to bless others. And this is the calling and privilege of us as Christians, as well, we trust, as the practice and experience of the saints. Let's consider many blessings in the church. Many blessings in the church. First, our blessing God, verses 1 and 2, and second, God's blessing us, verse 3. The first thing we need to do here is to grasp the various components of this psalm in order to understand really what's going on here. We need to notice then the places and people mentioned in Psalm 134. The temple looms large here. The temple in Jerusalem. It is called, in verse 1, the house of the Lord, and in verse 2, the sanctuary. And the house of the Lord, the sanctuary, words for the temple, this temple is in Zion, the holy mount, mentioned in verse 3. As well as the temple in Jerusalem, we read here of Levites. Now the word Levite isn't mentioned here, but the Levites are spoken of. The Levites here are the ones described in verse 1 as those, quote, servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. The Levites are the ones in verse 2 who are commanded to lift up their hands in the temple to bless the Lord. The Lord, of course, is mentioned three times here, once in each of the three verses, like the verb bless. So we have the temple in Jerusalem, we have the Levites laboring in the temple, and we have the Lord, who is described in verse 3 as the Lord who made heaven and earth. And then, of course, we have the pilgrims themselves, because these pilgrim psalms are especially to be sung by the pilgrims. There is one time reference in Psalm 134, night. Verse 1 says, "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, Levites, which by night stand in the temple." It's worth pointing out too that this is the last pilgrim psalm. You remember, of course, Psalm 119, which is often referred to as the big long psalm. Well, after Psalm 119 come the 15 pilgrim psalms, Psalms 120 to Psalms 100 and to Psalm 134. And we have seen in this series, at the very start, in our first three sermons, that those psalms especially fit the idea of the pilgrim going up to Jerusalem, the journey to the temple. Psalm 120 has the pilgrim leaving the lies and false accusations of Meshach and Kedar when he sets out. Psalm 121 has God protecting and guarding his every step of the journey, and he draws near and lifts up his eyes and sees Jerusalem among the mountains. And Psalm 122, the saints arrive. Their feet stand in Jerusalem. They go about the holy city. Well, just as these 15 psalms begin with three psalms of journeying through Jerusalem, at the very end of the pilgrim psalms, we have a song specially fitted for departure, leaving Zion and the temple as the pilgrims head home. Now, it's a consideration of the places and people and time, as mentioned in this last of the pilgrim psalms, which has led commentators on these pilgrim psalms to propose a scenario for Psalm 134 along these lines. Okay? Well, the prescribed days for the pilgrimage feast, whichever one it may be, is now over. It finished last night. Whether it's Passover, immediately followed by unleavened bread, or Pentecost, or Tabernacles, the feast has ended. The Levites, however, they are still going about their work at the temple. And we're not now talking about their work of watching the temple gates. Some of them were porters, or they're assisting preparations for the sacrifices to which some of them were assigned, or even their prayers. 1 Chronicles 9 and verse 33 is instructive here. I read, "These are the singers, chief of the fathers of the Levites, who, remaining in the chambers, were free," that is, free from other duties, "for they were employed in that work day and night." Some of the Levites, it says here, were singers. And the singers not only sang in the daytime, but at night. Psalm 134, verse 1 says, "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord." So here we have these Levites singing at night to bless the Lord. But the pilgrims, on the other hand, their time in Jerusalem's up, and they must return to their homes. They're out of bed very early. They assemble in their various groups. And if you ask why the early start, well, there's a long journey ahead of them, or at least for many,
if not most of them.
And the three pilgrimage feasts occur in the hotter half of the year.
The hope, therefore, is that they can make a good start, cover a good distance on their first day, cover a good distance when it's relatively cool, and perhaps, if they make good progress, enjoy a rest during the hottest part of the day.
So at this time, especially in view in Psalm 134, it's dark. And perhaps the first rays of the sun are creeping over the horizon. And we have at that time, as you will remember from any time you've been up at the crack of dawn, a particular eerie beauty in heaven and earth, made by God in his power and wisdom. And underfoot, perhaps, some dew upon Jerusalem. Now, in this relative stillness and quiet, we have probably some sort of disturbance, if that's the right word, from two things. We have the sounds of the packing pilgrims in the streets, and we have the strains of the singing Levites in the temple. The pilgrims are heading off, but the Levites, who are staying, are singing the songs of Zion. And the Levite singing sets the pilgrims a singing. And you can imagine an impromptu precentor starting them off. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. This psalm especially befits that occasion of the saints setting out after their time in Jerusalem for the feast. This means, though, that the Lord Jesus would have missed this. That is, he would have missed this on the first day's journey after his pilgrimage for Passover when he was 12 years old. You read about this at the end of Luke chapter 2. On that occasion, you will remember, he stayed in the temple asking and answering questions from Israel's religious leaders. And he told his parents, who eventually worked out where he was and found him, that he had to be about his father's business. So what are these pilgrims saying then, as they start their journey home and sing Psalm 134, 1-2? Well, they're calling on the Levites to bless the Lord. And this doesn't mean, of course, that the blessings of the Levites of the Lord could add to Jehovah's blessedness. That these Levites, or anybody for that matter, could confer a blessing on God so as to make God richer or happier or greater in any way. Because you understand that God, being God, his blessedness is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. Blessing Jehovah is declaring that he is perfectly, eternally, unchangeably, and infinitely blessed. It's ascribing all happiness and praise and power to him. So the pilgrims here then are calling upon the Levites to bless the Lord as they sing these inspired psalms of David. 1 Chronicles 9:13, which I quoted earlier, specifically says that they sang all
night. They sang the songs of Zion and blessed Jehovah by proclaiming His mighty works. The Psalms are full of it. By admiring His many virtues and by praising His marvelous ways. That's what it is for them to bless Jehovah. That was the calling of the pilgrims to the Levites in the temple. The pilgrims too called all these Levites to bless the Lord in singing. There wasn't to be any in the Levitical choir who shirked their duty or opted out or sort of mumbled the words. Every last one of them was to join in the praise. These pilgrims too called the Levites to bless the Lord in singing all the time. 1 Chronicles 9:33 again says, day and night, and Psalm 134 verse 1, because the saints are setting out at this time, specifically mentions the night, the time when you'd be most drowsy and most disinclined naturally to do it. Now, of course, this did not mean that every singing Levite sang God's praises in the temple all the time, 24/7. We would say the Levites did this in shifts. The singing Levites, remember some were porters or some helped with the sacrifices, the singing Levites took it in turns. Some would sing at this time, and another group would sing at another with one group taking over after another group, because the Levites too haven't got vocal cords to sing 24 hours a day, and they had to sleep and fulfill other necessary callings. But it did mean that there was a constant round of praise ascending to God from the temple, day and night, with the Levites blessing Jehovah in song. The pilgrims, moreover, called upon these Levites to bless the Lord in singing with all that is within them. Lift up your hands, says verse 2, in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord. Lift up your hands like this, so that you look up to God, you cry out to God, you long for God with all that's within you, so that the whole body, as it were, symbolizes the ascent of the heart to the Lord. And these hands, which were lifted up, to echo 1 Timothy 2, though it's especially speaking about prayer, these hands were to be holy hands, lifted up without wrath or doubting. So here we have these pilgrims calling the singing Levites to bless the Lord. All of them are to bless the Lord, all of the time, day and night, and with all that is within them. You say, why are the pilgrims doing this? Do they have the right to call and command these Levites to do this? Yes, they do. Of course they do. They have the right to call the least Levites to do this because God has already called them to do this. This was their God-given duty. And the pilgrims here are simply reminding the Levites of their calling before the Lord. Bless the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, just as God Himself told you, as you were commanded by God through David, who ordered the temple service. And that's why in verse 1, these singing Levites are called the servants of the Lord. They were to serve God in their specific office and with their specific roles and duties enjoined upon them. This idea of one group of believers
calling another group of believers to their God-given duty. This is one function, not the chief one, but an undoubted function, of singing the inspired psalms. This is Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Primarily, we sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord, but also as we sing, we are to teach and admonish one another, just as these pilgrims did as they began their trek home after the pilgrimage feast, just as these pilgrims did to the Levites in the temple. Bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the temple. Lift up your hands. They were admonishing them to fulfill their duty. In fact, the pilgrims in Psalm 134 were especially assiduous in this exhortation of the Levites. Behold, pay attention, Levites, and bless the Lord. And then they repeat this calling of the Levites in verse 2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. And the calling of this song then was from these pilgrims to these Levites. Stir yourselves up in singing God's praises in the temple as you ought to do. And as we ought to do, as we sing of God's wonders. And perhaps the idea was here, the pilgrims are saying in effect, well, we're going home. The party's over, so to speak. The feast has ended. And we would want to be able to stay here, but we can't. We can't. And we wouldn't want you, Levites, to think that now we're not here, and now we're not able to watch you perform your duty, that you can become a little bit less zealous than you were for the days of the feast. But you must serve and bless the Lord, even when we're not here, and do it just as zealously, because after all, this is your holy calling before His face. And just as we're about to depart, we give you this exhortation one more time. So as I've indicated, there's also here a reflection of a holy wistfulness on the part of the godly pilgrims. Sadly, we have to go home now. We have to leave the holy temple and city. We wish we could stay longer and continue the service of God in Jerusalem, the praises and the sacrifices and the prayers. We're going to miss this now that we have to turn our backs and traipse home. But unlike us, you as Levites in that special tribe and with your special calling, you had the particular privilege to stay here where we've got to go back. And you must be faithful in this. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord and do it nightly and daily and lift up your hands in praise. And now you will remember that the temple and its service is typical. Typical. That is, it pictures something greater, more glorious, more important. The tabernacle and the temple which succeeded it. Tabernacle and temple worship picture heaven. That's why there were so many angels in the decorations of those structures. That's why there was gold. It's meant to be glorious. That's why, too, you have trees. Because heaven is pictured as paradise with the tree of life. But here we have the Levites blessing God day and night in the earthly temple, which shadows forth worship in God's heavenly dwelling place. Let me read you of the worship of the four living creatures in Revelation 4, verse 8. The four beasts, which had each of them six wings about him, they were full of eyes within, and they rest not, or cease not, day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which it was, and is to come. They don't cease day or night. That's the way that the glorified saints in heaven praise God too. Unceasingly, day and night. And the singing Levites in the Old Testament pictured that. They pictured that. That far higher and far more glorious worship than what the Levites could ever offer, because all in heaven praise the Lord. There are no ungodly, reprobate singers in heaven. There are no wicked amongst the Levitical choir up above. And all those in heaven praise the Lord all the time. There's no need for sleep, because in our souls, and after the body, after the resurrection in our bodies, we are much stronger and need no rest. And all in heaven praise the Lord all the time with all their hearts. Nobody comes like a Levite on the odd night, had a bad day spiritually, wasn't able to put much of his heart into the worship. No, everybody there, totally holy, sinlessly perfect, mind you. So there's a great zeal and purity in the worship. But if we descend from heaven for a moment, it is true that even now, God is blessed day and night by his church on earth. I'm not talking now about some sort of monastic establishment with monks singing at all hours of the night. Rather, I'm talking about the Holy Catholic, that is, universal church. The church among the nations and tribes and tongues. It was said that the sun never set upon the British Empire. Well, the sun certainly doesn't set on the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. At every hour of the day, God's people on earth are praising him. When saints in Northern Ireland or Portugal or Morocco are fast asleep, there are believers in Australia or New Zealand or Indonesia who are blessing God. As Malachi puts it, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, God's name is great among the Gentiles. Now, of course, all believers are part of God's global choir. It's not just the Levites who can sing God's praises in the temple. And even then, it's not just some Levites. Because women Levites and children Levites didn't praise God at the temple. It was male adult Levites. And it wasn't even all male adult Levites, because some of them, as I've been saying, were gatekeepers or assisted with the offering of the sacrifices. And then the Levitical singers themselves took it in turn to serve at the temple. But now, everybody is a Levitical priest in this sense. Men and women of all ages, young and old, Jews and Gentiles. You don't have to be to get this special privilege from the Old Testament tribe of Levi.
Everybody who believes in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, is a member of this choir. Everyone is given in this choir the white robes of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and Christ Himself, by the Spirit, puts this new song in our hearts. This is a crucial part of the biblical and Reformation doctrine of the priesthood of all believers. As Levitical priests, we consecrate ourselves body and soul to the Lord's service, day and night to God's service. As Levitical priests, we bring the sacrifice not of some bloody bullock, but the sacrifice of praise, which is a far higher sacrifice. As Levitical priests, we sing the songs of Zion. As Levitical priests, we never have to leave any earthly temple because there no longer is a place of earthly pilgrimage. This is what Jesus told the Samaritan woman when she asked him, well, do we worship God at Mount Gerizim or at Jerusalem? And Jesus said, woman, believe me, the hour is coming and now is where nobody's going to worship at this mountain or that mountain. The church is going to become Catholic. And God is seeking and therefore finding worshippers who worship Him in spirit and in truth. So in Psalm 134, verses 1 and 2, the New Testament church does not sing these words to another special elite class while we have to leave God's temple and trudge home and say, oh, that really high holy work, that's for this special people at the top of the pile. No, we sing these words to each other because we are both the pilgrims, because we're on pilgrimage, and the Levites. We sing them to each other, teaching and admonishing one another in this song of the Spirit. Behold, we say to each other, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. And so there are many blessings going forth in this short psalm. The people of God are blessing God and exhorting one another to bless God. Verses 1 and 2. And then in verse 3, God blesses us. And here there's a difference. The word bless is the same in all three verses, but here there's a difference in the meaning of bless because of who is doing the blessing. When we bless God, we ascribe blessedness to Him. When He blesses us, He doesn't merely say that we are blessed, but because God is His Word, and God is powerful and irresistible, He actually confers and bestows His blessing upon us. When God says you are blessed, He makes you blessed. And no bones about it. And this is what Paul is getting at in Ephesians chapter 1, that God really and truly blesses all of His people with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Jesus Christ, according as He has elected us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And then it goes on to enumerate some of these blessings. We have redemption in Christ's blood. We have the forgiveness of sins. We're adopted. We're accepted in the Beloved. He makes us holy. He gives us an inheritance. And He seals us with the Holy Spirit so we're sure that we belong to Him. He gives us wisdom and He illuminates the eyes of our understanding that we may know what is the hope of our calling. Many blessings in the church. So that we upwards bless God, ascribe blessings to Him, and that He, downwards upon us, confers blessings. Which of course also means that outside of God's church, His elect and redeemed people, nobody blesses God. And they just don't not bless Him, they curse Him. Which means too that outside of God's church chosen in Jesus Christ, God blesses nobody. He curses them, because cursed is everyone who continues not to do everything that is written in the book of the law. And all God's blessings are in Jesus Christ, the blessed one, and according to the election and covenant of grace. But now look more closely with me at verse 3. Who is calling God to bless whom here? Well, some say that the pilgrims are calling upon the Levites in the temple. Then it would be, the pilgrims would be saying, "The Lord that made heaven and earth bless thee, O Levite, in the temple." But that doesn't work. That doesn't work. Nor is it that the Levites, having been called to bless God in verses 1 and 2, the Levites now respond to the pilgrims and say back to the pilgrims, "Now the Lord bless thee." This is a pilgrim psalm. The pilgrims sang the psalm. And the pilgrims here in verse 3 call God to bless thee. Singular. That is, they're calling upon God not to bless the Levitical priests. They're plural, and mentioned as plural in verses 1 and 2. But the pilgrims are calling upon God to bless each individual pilgrim. Imagine all the pilgrims then gathering outside one of the gates, singing this song. They're singing to the Levites, verses 1 and 2, and then they're singing about each individual pilgrim all around. And they're singing to each other, in effect, "The Lord that made heaven and earth bless thee out of Zion." Bless thee and thee and thee and thee. That's the idea. Many, many blessings in the church. "The Lord that made heaven and earth with his great power and wisdom and goodness, who's full of blessedness himself, may he bless thee. And may he bless thee out of Zion." You especially get that in the Psalms. "Bless thee out of Zion, where he dwells." So in Zion, the city of God, is the repository of blessings. And the blessings flow out of that holy city to the people of God. Now, of course, Zion, where God has his throne, and where Jesus Christ is seated at God's right hand, Zion is in heaven. The Jerusalem which is above, which is the mother of us all. Galatians 4, Hebrews 12. God now blesses his people through the manifestation of Zion in true instituted churches, where the preaching of the word, the administration of the sacraments. God bless thee out of Zion. You can understand why these godly saints are singing this. And this too, the very last verse of the last pilgrim psalm, as they set out for home. You can understand why they're singing this, because they've gone up together to worship the Lord. In Psalm 130, they've been singing about the forgiveness of sins. We're a community of those who've been pardoned and remitted all our debts. Psalm 131 is a psalm of humility and meekness, so that we're like a weaned child, not squealing every time God chastises us, or grumbling and complaining when something crosses us, like a weaned child. Psalm 132, we're all recipients of the Davidic covenant. God has put a king upon the throne, established Zion as his place of worship, and put priests there to serve our salvation. Psalm 133, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And it's like the precious anointing oil, number one, sweet and fragrant. And it's like the dew of Hermon, life-giving dew, the dew of everlasting life. And experiencing all this, and enjoying all this, the saints say, the saints sing, as they leave pilgrimage, "The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion." So each one's singing and praying about that for each other. This is the way it should be for those who truly go on pilgrimage in prayer and worship. This is the way it is. And this is the way you should leave church too. The minister, as Christ's representative, delivers the apostolic benediction. But in effect, the saints of the leave church say one another, "The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion." Many blessings in the church. Day and night, blessing God. Day and night, His blessing us. And day and night, our prayer that He will bless each one of us individually. Because we need it. Amen.